نحمده ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. We would like to begin this evening by briefly reviewing the points which we covered in the previous lecture from the sharh or the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Al-Tahawi. Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, in the previous points that we covered, point number 60, says, وَالْأَمْنُ وَالْإِيَاسُ يَنْقُلَانِ عَنْ مِلَّةِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالسَّبِيلُ الْحَقِّ بَيْنُهُمَا لِأَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ. Al-Amnu, that is the sense of being secure from Allah's punishment. The one who feels that they are safe and secure, that their life is so correct and straight, that they don't have any fear that Allah might call them to account for any shortcoming on their part. This attitude, Al-Amnu, as well as the opposite of it, Al-Iyas, having despair and giving up hope of Allah's mercy, the one who feels that their life is so corrupt, or their deeds, their wrong deeds are so many, that there's no hope for them, that they lost hope and they have fell into despair of Allah's mercy, this attitude also is unacceptable Islamically. Both of these attitudes are extreme. The one who feels completely safe and the one who feels that there's no hope for him. These extremes are unacceptable and they take someone out of the millah or the community of Islam. The proper attitude, as Al-Imam Al-Tahawi says, وَالسَّبِيلُ الْحَقِّ, the way of truth, is between these two, بَيْنَهُمَا لِأَهْلِ الْقِبْلَةِ, for the people of the Qibla, that is the Muslims who face the Qibla, that is the Kaaba or Mecca. The proper way, the proper attitude of a Muslim is that they are in between these two attitudes, not feeling completely secure, nor feeling hopeless or in despair, but hoping for Allah's mercy, hoping for Allah's mercy and fearing Allah's punishment. Because all of us, as human beings, we fall short and we have committed sins and we fear Allah's punishment for the sins that we have committed, while at the same time we hope for Allah's mercy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made us to know that Allah's mercy overcomes or supersedes His wrath or His punishment. The proof for this, in brief, is the mention of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah to Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 87, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسْ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرُونَ, that no one gives up hope of the mercy of Allah except the disbelieving people. And also the saying of Allah in chapter 7, verse 99, فَلَا يَأْمَنْ مَقْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمَ الْخَاسِرُونَ, and no one feels safe or secure from the judgment or the punishment of Allah except those people, الْخَاسِرُونَ, those who are the losers. So these two attitudes, both of them feeling completely secure or giving up hope and being in despair, are unacceptable for the believer. The believer should have hope of Allah's mercy and should also fear Allah's punishment. The next point, Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, وَلَا يَخْرُجُ الْعَبْدُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ إِلَّا بِجُهُودِ مَا أَدْخَلَهُ فِيهِ That a Muslim or the servant of Allah does not go out of Iman, does not go out of Islam, does not completely lose his faith except by denial, outright denial, negation, rejection of that which he entered Islam through it. And we had a lengthy discussion concerning this in which we mentioned some of the things of the scholars, including a lengthy explanation by Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, in which he explained that the correct opinion concerning this matter is that not only does someone go out of Islam by rejecting or denying that which he entered Islam through. Someone enters Islam by recognizing, acknowledging, declaring, confessing the oneness or the unity or the uniqueness of Allah, that He alone deserves to be worshipped and that there is no one or nothing like Him in the universe. And by declaring the prophethood and the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If someone denies this, then certainly they go out of Islam, because it is by these words that someone enters Islam. But also the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah made it clear that also a person may go out of Islam by any one of those things which are considered nullifiers. Those things which nullify someone's Islam, they are called the nawaqid of Islam, through which a person apostates, goes out of Islam after entering Islam. And those things have been mentioned in the books of fiqh under the chapters concerning apostasy. How a person negates or nullifies the Islam and goes out of Islam after entering it. And this also we discussed in detail. From amongst those nullifiers of Islam, if someone makes mockery of Islam or mockery of the law of Allah, or someone who rejects anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought from the Sharia, that which came in the Quran or which came in the authentic Sunnah, and so many other things. The next point, which we came to, and the time didn't allow for us to discuss, was point number 62. That was from last week's lecture. In point number 62, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says, وَالْإِيمَانُ هُوَ الْإِقْرَارُ بِاللِّسَانِ وَالْتَصْدِيقُ بِالْجَنَانِ That Al-Iman, faith or belief, it consists of two things. He says, Al-Iqrar bil-lisan. That is the affirmation or confession by the tongue that someone says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. This confession by the tongue is one of the components of Al-Iman. The other component, according to Al-Imam al-Tahawi, is at-tasdiq bil-janan. That is, that one testifies or admits the truthfulness and the correctness of the statement La ilaha illallah in the heart. Someone has in their heart this acknowledgement or confession of the truthfulness of La ilaha illallah. This particular point requires a detailed explanation, as there is a long-standing difference of opinion between the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the scholars of the Hanafi Madhab, particularly Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and those who followed his opinion in this matter. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Khumayyiz, concerning this point, says that this definition of Iman, that it is affirmation on the tongue and confirmation or admission of the truthfulness in the heart, on the tongue and the heart, that this definition is incorrect, and that the correct definition, as explained by the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the majority of the scholars of Islam, is that Iman consists of three components. One of them is tasdeeq bil janan, having the confession of the truthfulness of Tawheed in one's heart. The second one of them is Iqrar bil-lisan, confession by the tongue. These two are mentioned by Imam al-Tahawi according to the definition of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. And the third component of Iman is Amal bil-arkan. That the third aspect of Iman is that a person actually does the deed, the action. That are the fruits of the belief that one has in their heart. If you say you believe in Allah, then it is expected that you should do some actions in accordance with that belief. And these actions are a part of Iman. This is a fundamental principle of the fundamental principles of Islam according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The evidence is for such that actions and deeds are part of Iman are so many in the Quran as well as in the Sunnah and the sayings of the scholars of the Muslim Ummah. Based on this definition, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah said that Iman increases and decreases. Yani Iman, faith, it doesn't necessarily remain stable at one level, but it might increase and it might decrease according to the condition of the individual. It increases by acts of obedience to Allah, and it decreases by acts of disobedience. When one is disobedient to Allah, then their Iman decreases. And when they are obedient to Allah, their Iman increases. And there are many evidences of such. Amongst those evidences, the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 124, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا مَا أَنزَلَتْ سُورَةٌ, that when a chapter of Quran is revealed, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ, then there are some of those who said, أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتْهُمْ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا. Yani, which one of you, when this chapter was revealed, which one of you had his Iman increased? فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. As for those who believe, their Iman is increased and they rejoice at the revelation of the chapters of Quran. This is in Surah At-Tawbah. And also the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Fath, chapter 48, verse 4, هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم. That Allah, He is the one who sent down as-sakina, tranquility and peace, upon the heart of the believers. لِيَزْدَادُوا إِمَانًا مَعْ إِمَانِهِمْ, so that their Iman, their faith, would increase. Their faith, the Iman that they had, would be increased by additional Iman. Also, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verse 76, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا هُدَى, and those who are guided or who follow the guidance, Allah increase them with more guidance on top of their guidance. Al-Imam Ibn Abil Izz, rahimahullah, in his comprehensive explanation of this book, Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, mentions numerous evidences for such. These are just a few of those which he mentions. The fact that deeds or actions are of those things by which someone's Iman might increase, and that the Iman of some people would be higher or stronger than others, this is a fact about which there is no doubt. If only we would look at the wicked person in comparison to the righteous person, or the moral person in comparison to the immoral person, the obedient believer and the disobedient person. If we will compare them, then we will see that the one who is obedient is different than the one who is disobedient, though both of them have affirmed and declared that Allah is the creator and that He is the one who is divine and deserves to be worshipped. And other matters of the matters of faith or belief or creed, they have testified to the truthfulness of such on their tongue and they have also believed it in their heart. Yet for sure there is a difference between the obedient servant of Allah and the disobedient, the immoral one and the moral one. And it is clearly seen, this difference is clearly seen through the actions of these different types of people. So this idea that iman is only that which the conviction in the heart and testimony on the tongue without consideration of one's actions is really incorrect. It is an incorrect definition, and the truth of the matter is that which we have mentioned, and it is the opinion of the majority of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Al-Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah, may Allah have mercy on him. He said in his brief comment on this book, Al-Aqidah Al-Sahawiyyah, he says here concerning this point that this definition, fihi nazar wa qusur, yani it is not a complete definition and it should be examined. It should be examined. And the correct opinion, which is the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is that iman is qawlun wa amalun wa i'tiqadun. That iman includes speech as well as action as well as conviction, which is in the heart. يَزِيدُ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَيَنْقُصُ بِالْمَعْصِيَةِ. And that iman, which consists of these three components, speech and action and conviction in the heart, it increases by acts of obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it decreases by acts of disobedience. Here, Shaykh Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, mentioned that Al-Imam Ibn Abil-Izz, rahimahullah, in his explanation, mentioned a large number of the evidence concerning such, and whoever desires may refer to the original book and examine those evidences. Then he says something which is very important, that excluding action from the definition of iman, excluding actions from the definition of iman is actually the opinion or the position of the murji'a, those people who considered that actions don't matter. One, bad actions do not affect, nor good actions. Actions don't count. As long as someone has faith, they believe, then actions don't cause any harm. This is the opinion of the murji'a. And the difference of opinion here between them and between the people of Sunnah, it is not only a difference of opinion in the way they express the definition, but it is a real difference of opinion which many rules or regulations or principles are based upon the difference in these two definitions. From amongst those principles that are based on the difference of opinion here is an issue which we will not discuss in detail, but the scholars discuss in lengthy detail, but it is the issue of whether or not someone might profess to be a believer without saying inshallah. And if someone says, I am a believer, some of the scholars said, you may not say so, but you should say, I am a believer, inshallah. And others said, no, you may say, you must say, if you say, I am a believer, you must say, I am a believer, inshallah. And the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah actually held the middle position. The middle position is that in some cases, depending on the intended meaning of such a statement, you should definitely say, inshallah. And in other cases, there's no need to say so. And in brief, the difference of opinion here concerns the meaning or the intention of the person when they say, I am a believer. Do they mean that they are in perfect submission and in compliance with all that Allah has commanded them with, and they have avoided everything that Allah has prohibited. If anyone means that they are a believer, having perfect iman to that extent, then they should say, inshallah, because the one who claims that he is in complete total submission, he is complying with every command and avoiding every prohibition, then that person has declared themselves to be of the muttaqeen. And they, as a result of that, really also would declare themselves to be of those who are guaranteed paradise. And as we mentioned previously, it is from the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that we don't declare, not ourselves nor for anyone else, that they are guaranteed to be in the paradise, just as we don't declare that any of the believers are guaranteed to be in the hellfire. But that is something that is with Allah, it is known only to Allah, and it is something that will be clear in the next life. So here, because of the fact that some people said that iman does not consist of action, they said, you may say you are a believer, because iman is only confession in the heart, or testimony on the tongue. In that case, a person may say, I am a believer, without any hesitation. Whereas the majority of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah said that included in iman is actions. And therefore, if we include in the definition of iman actions, then no one can claim that their actions, that their behavior, that their life is in total and complete and in perfect compliance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every detail of what He has commanded or prohibited. In that case, from that consideration, the person should say, I am a believer, and having iman in my heart, inshaAllah, meaning to the extent, my obedience to Allah and submission to Allah is to an extent, but not completely or perfectly. Also, concerning this matter, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, Afidahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he says that it is the madhab or the opinion or position of the Hanafiya and the Maturidiya that actions are not included as a part or a component of iman. And their opinion is contrary or in conflict with the majority of the scholars of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, including Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Shafi'i, Al-Imam Ahmed, Al-Imam Al-Awza'i, Al-Imam Ishaq ibn Rahway, the Sheikh of Bukhari, and so many other scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah who said that iman also includes actions. So that these majority of scholars, they held that in addition to the conviction in the heart and testimony on the tongue, they added to this that part of iman is actions by the parts or limbs of the body. But he says that the difference of opinion amongst them is not only expression or in the wording of the definition, but in fact it is a real difference of opinion. This difference of opinion, if in fact the scholars of the Hanafiya madhab, if they in fact were not in conflict with the opinion of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the majority, then they would have agreed with this point of the definition of iman, that iman, if it includes actions, if they were in agreement with such, then they would also agree that iman increases and decreases, and that it increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience, as is founded in the evidences of Quran and Sunnah. Yet we find that in fact they have conflicted and differed with this position to the extent that some of the scholars of the Hanafi madhab even went so far as to criticize and try to reject some hadith which has been confirmed and authenticated by the scholars of hadith such as Al-Bukhari and Muslim and others. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Iman bid'un wa sab'una shu'aba, that iman is has 70 some odd branches. فأفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها إماتة الأذى عن الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. That Iman has more than 70 something branches. The best of those branches is the statement, the saying La ilaha illallah, and the least of them is to remove something harmful from the road, and also al-haya, modesty or shyness, is a branch of Iman. And this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim and Abu Dawud, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah and others on the authority of Abu Hurairah. And this hadith is also an indication that Iman consists of different components. Amongst them is the saying, speech, La ilaha illallah, and amongst them are actions, removing something from the road, and amongst them are those things of the heart, such as al-hayat, which is a consciousness or something that the person doesn't say or do, but it is a action of the heart. This hadith shows the components of Iman are many. They are not only conviction in the heart, and they are not only speech on the tongue, but they also include actions. And some of them rejected this hadith, even though there's no doubt about its authenticity, due to the fact that this hadith indicates that actions are part of Iman, and this is contrary to their opinion. He goes on to say, Shaykh al-Albani goes on to say, that some of the people of the madhab of the Hanafiya don't allow, they consider it to be not permissible, no matter if the person was the most corrupt and immoral one, that it's not permissible for them to say ana mu'min insha'Allah. They don't allow anyone to include the statement insha'Allah when they declare that they are a believer, because it is their opinion that Iman doesn't include actions. Therefore, there's no need for anyone to say insha'Allah. As long as Iman is in your heart, it is sufficient for you to declare that you are a believer. In fact, some of them went to the extent to say that it is permissible to say ana mu'min haqqan, that I am a believer in truth, in fact, without any doubt, as Ya'ani mentioned in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, chapter 8, verses 2 through 4, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. That these are the ones who are the true believers. And if you look at the description that Allah uses here, for those people who are the true believers, in fact, without any doubt, they are those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble. And when the ayats or the verses of the Quran or the ayats of Allah are recited, their iman increases. And they have total trust and reliance on Allah alone. And they establish the prayers and they give in charity. And this is the description that Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. So here we can see that in fact the mu'min, the believer, in truth, is a person who not only has conviction in the heart, but a person who is fulfilling the commandments of Allah and refraining from that which Allah has prohibited, and whose iman is very strong, and their taqwa, their consciousness of Allah, is very, very strong. Then he mentions that some of them even went to the extent in their fanaticism to their madhab that they said, whoever says that they are a believer, insha'Allah, that person has disbelieved. That it is kufr to say insha'Allah about the fact that you are a believer. Some of them said that the Hanafi person cannot marry, for example, a woman from another madhab, Shafi'i madhab. And some of them allowed the Hanafi man to marry a Shafi'i woman, but not a Hanafi woman to marry a Shafi'i man. And they said so based on the fact, or based on the qiyas or analogy, they compared the women from another madhab to the Ahl al-Kitab, the people of the book, and it's permissible to marry the people of the book, therefore you may marry the women from another madhab. But yani, the woman from their madhab cannot marry someone from another madhab. In any case, the important thing here is that the definition of iman, the correct definition of iman, is that it should include, in addition to the conviction in the heart and the confession on the tongue, it should also include the actions that are in accordance with that which is in the heart and that which is expressed on the tongue. The next point, Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, وَجَمِيعُ مَا صَحَّ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الشَّرْعِ وَالْبَيَانِ كُلُّهُ حَقٌ. That everything, all of what has been authentically reported or transmitted from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم من الشرع, يعني from that which is legislated, the Sharia, والبيان, and the explanation of that شرع, the explanation of the Quran and the explanation of the Islamic law, that explanation which came from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the legislated laws of the Sharia, as well as the explanation that came through the authentic Sunnah, all of this is proof. كُلُّهُ حَقٌّ. And that means that all of it has to be accepted. The point here is that whatever came not only in the Quran but also from the Sunnah is the explanation of the Quran, all of it has to be accepted in Sharia, in Islamic principles or laws, as well as in Islamic belief, in creed and faith, aqidah. Whatever came in the legislation, the laws, as well as the explanation from the Sunnah, it is haq and it has to be accepted. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman al-Khumayyis, he says that everything that was authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam concerning the Islamic laws and the matters of the deen, all of it is truth, no matter if it was reported through us through hadith, which are mutawatir, or hadith, which came through us by tariq al-ahad. What is the difference between mutawatir and ahad? These are two technical terms that the scholars of hadith use to apply, to describe the report of the actions and sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam according to the chains of narrators who reported them, the people who passed down those reports of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. If it came through one chain of narrators, or a small number of chains, one or two or three, they call this ahad. Ahad. It means it only has a few chains of narrators. In that case, they rejected such hadith. They said, especially in matters of aqidah, that they only accepted hadith which came mutawatir, came by many chains of narrators, and the people who reported it were a large number in every generation, from the generation after Sahaba and the generation after the Tabi'een, on until that hadith was collected. There should have been a large number of people on every level, so that there would be no doubt about the authenticity of what they transmitted, and there's no chance that they could have conspired together. Since though they were a large number of people, and they were in different lands and different places, and all of them reported the same thing, this is called mutawatir. And they made a distinction between those hadith which came through many chains, mutawatir, and those which only came through one or two or a few chains, ahad. Basically, the deviation here was in making a distinction between mutawatir and ahad in terms of accepting the information or the truth that came to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it came by one chain of narrators or many chains. As long as the chain is correct, it is authentic, then we must accept it. And this is what Al-Imam al-Tahawi is referring to here when he says that we must accept jami'u ma sahha an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything that has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Shaykh al-Albani hafizahullah says, referring to this point, that we must accept everything which is authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without making any distinction between khabar ahad, yani those hadith which came through only a few chains of narrators, or tawatir, those which came through many chains, as long as the chain, even if it's only one, as long as it is sahih, it is correct, it is authentic, then it is truth, there is no doubt about it, and we have to accept it. Making a distinction between these different types of hadith is an innovation, and it is a philosophical deviation that entered in Islam later, but was not from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is in contradiction to the methodology or the way of the early generations of the Muslims and the early imams of the Muslim ummah. And this discussion in detail has been mentioned in an essay by Sheikh Al-Albani entitled The Obligation of Accepting Hadith Ahad, or those hadith which came through a small number of narrations in Al-Aqidah, and a refutation of the misunderstanding of those who oppose this opinion. Wujub al-akh li hadith al-ahad fil aqidah wal-rad ala shubh al-mukhalifin. Al-Imam Ibn Abu al-Izz rahimahullah, concerning this same point, that we must accept everything that came authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says in his commentary that here Al-Imam al-Tahawi intends to refute the groups who deviated from the correct position, the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'attila, the Mu'tazila, and the Rafida. These are groups who held different beliefs and different opinions than the opinions and the positions of the Sahaba and those who came after them, the Tabi'een, and so on. Those groups held that the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ are accepted or rejected based on which division they came from, mutawatir or ahad. And in fact, Ibn Abi al-Izz, he says that they use this division as a means to reject the sunnah. They use it as a means to reject the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam due to the fact that their beliefs and their deviant opinions were not supported by the sunnah. Their opinions were contradicted by the sunnah, so they used such a division in order to reject those hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which were not in agreement with their ideas. Then he mentions, and in a long discussion concerning this point, he mentions that the way of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that we do not go beyond, we do not pass over or reject any authentic text from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do not contradict it by our intellect. We don't reject it by the saying of any person, whoever they may be. And this is an example of this is that which was mentioned by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. He said, I heard Al-Humaydi, one of his teachers, a great scholar of hadith, he said, I heard Humaydi saying that we were with a Shafi'i, rahimahullah, we were with a Shafi'i, and a man came to him and asked him about a particular issue. Then Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ruled in this matter with such and such ruling. That man said to Shafi'i, مَا تَقُولُ أَنْتَ? What do you say about it? After Shafi'i, rahimahullah, told him, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has ruled such and such and so, then the man asked him, ما تقول أنت؟ What do you have to say about it? So what's your opinion? الإمام الشافعي said سبحان الله سبحان الله. Have you seen me in a church? Have you seen me in a synagogue? I say to you that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ruled in the matter with such and such ruling, and then you ask me, what do I say about it? Yani, this is an example of the position of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken, then we have nothing to say about it. We don't have any opinion. We don't have any different idea or yani, rejection or objection to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And this is يعني, a principle that's indicated in the Quran in many places. From amongst them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 36, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونُ لَهُ الْخِيرَةَ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That it is not fitting, it is not proper, it is not acceptable for the believing man or the believing woman when Allah and His Messenger has ruled in a matter that you have any option or choice from that which يعني, has already been decided in that matter. And then finally, Imam Ibn Abd al-Izz mentions here that Imam al-Tahawi, in this statement here, he said that whatever has been reported authentically from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that it is truth, whether it is from a shara, that which is legislated, and also al-bayan, the explanation that came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, this is a reference to the fact that what has been reported or transmitted to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is of two types. The first of them is shara'un ibtada'i, and the second of them is bayan lima shara'ahu Allah fi kitabihi al-aziz. يعني the two types of transmissions that came to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the initial legislation, that is the Quran, and the second of that which has been transmitted to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the bayan or the explanation of what Allah has legislated in His book. يعني the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the one who transmitted to us or reported to us the revelation of Quran, the legislation that came in Quran. And also, he has given us the explanation of that legislation, and he says that all of this is proof, and it is wajib to follow it or to accept it. The next point of Al-Imam Tahawi rahimahullah, point number 64, وَالْإِمَانُ وَاحِدٌ وَأَهْلُهُ فِي أَصْلِهِ سَوَاءٌ. That Al-Iman, or faith, or belief, is one, and it is one thing, one and the same. There is no difference between it. وَأَهْلُهُ فِي أَصْلِهِ سَوَاءٌ. And the people of Iman, in the root or essence of Iman, they are all equal or the same. The people of Iman, the believers, in the root or essence of Iman, he says that they are all the same. وَالتَفَاضُلُ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْخَشْيَةِ وَالتُّقَى وَمُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَى وَمُلَازَمَةِ الْأُولَى. But the superiority of some over others, or the difference or variation in rank of the believers, is due to al-khashya, fear of Allah, or al-tuqa, يعني taqwa or piety or righteousness or consciousness of Allah, and also مُخَالَفَةِ الْهَوَى, the one who opposes or rejects their evil or immoral or low desires, and sticking, مُلَازَمَةِ الْأُولَى, sticking to that which يعني the doing or the performance or the enacting of those things that are loved by Allah. يعني it is from fear of Allah and consciousness of Allah and rejecting one's lower desires and fulfilling or performing that those deeds which are known to be loved by Allah. These things are the means or the way by which some of the believers are superior in rank to others. Al-Imam al-Tahawi says that the believers, the people of Iman, are equal in the root or essence of Iman, but some of them are superior in rank to others due to their fear of Allah or their consciousness of Allah or their obedience to Allah and so on. This opinion, the Shaykh Muhammad Al-Khumayyah says that this statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi is based on the principle which was mentioned earlier, that is his definition of Iman. That is that Iman doesn't include action. Based on this, he says that the Iman of the believers is all the same. The root of it or the essence of it is the same. It's just a conviction in the heart. All of them have the same conviction, and therefore in the root of Iman there's no difference between the people, but the difference is based on their actions. Yani, based on their khashya, their fear of Allah, or their yani, rejection of their low desires, or their sticking to doing of good deeds that are loved by Allah. The truth of the matter is that there is variation and there is superiority of some of the believers over others, even in the root or the essence of Iman. And if the Iman, the conviction that is in the heart of the believers, is not the same, not every believer has the same conviction, equal strength of conviction. Forget about the statement on the tongue or the actions that a believer does, but even the Iman that is in one's heart is not equal from one person to another. There is variation and there is superiority. Otherwise, if there was no difference in the root or essence of Iman, then we could say that our Iman, our faith, our conviction is equal to the Iman of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We could say that our Iman is equal to the Iman of the angels. And this is clearly not so, because the conviction of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is far superior than any of the people of the earth, even superior to the other prophets. And the conviction or the Iman of the angels who are with Allah, who are attending to Allah, who are in His presence, is not like those who have not seen Allah. Not only that, but also, in addition to the very... as a proof that of the second statement of Imam al-Tahawi, that there is difference in the people based on their fear of Allah, their consciousness of Allah. He mentions that this is certainly also true based on the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49, verse 13, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتَقَاكُمْ, that verily the most honored of you with Allah are those who are أَتْقَاكُمْ, those who have the most taqwa, or the most piety, or righteousness, or consciousness of Allah. The taqwa is one of the measuring sticks. Also, that there is difference in rank, or variation in rank, based on the person's rejection of their low desires, or their immoral desires, and their sticking to the performance or being consistent in the performance of those things which are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah says concerning this point that Iman, that this definition or this statement of Imam al-Tahawi, Iman is one and the same, and that the people of Iman, the believers, are equal in the root or essence of Iman. He said that this requires some review. In fact, this statement is incorrect, because the believers are not equal in their Iman, but in fact, they have varying ranks to a great degree. Some of them are far superior to others. The Iman, or the faith, or the conviction of the Prophet and messengers is far superior to the Iman of others. So also, the Khulafa al-Rashideen, the rulers who came after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, wa Umar, wa Uthman, wa Ali, may Allah be pleased with them all, and the Iman of the rest of Sahabas, it's not like the Iman of other people who came after them. And so also the Iman of the believers the mu'mineen is not like the iman of the fasiqeen, the immoral and unrighteous people. So that means that the iman from one person to another is not equal in its strength. And based on the strength of one's iman, the rank or status of that person is different from one to another. This varying in rank or status based on the variation in the iman of the people, it is according to that which is in the heart of the individual, the knowledge that they have of Allah, and the knowledge of the names of Allah, and the characteristics of Allah, and the knowledge of that which Allah has legislated for His servants, and the implementation, yani, the lifestyle of the person based on that knowledge. And this is the correct opinion of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as opposed to those who said that actions, yani, don't count. Shaykh al-Albani also, yani, made a similar statement to what has already been mentioned. And it is, yani, necessary here just quickly to mention the commentary of Ibn Abi al-Izz, rahimahullah, since he was one of the well-known great scholars of the Hanafi madhab. And his explanation of the book of Imam al-Sahawi is recognized by Muslims from every madhab all over the world. He says that the statement of Imam al-Sahawi that the people of Iman, the believers, are all equal in the root or essence of Iman, and that the difference between them, or the superiority of some of them, he says, وَتَفَاضُلْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِيقَةِ يعني, here he used a different expression than the expression that's found in most of the copies of the book of Imam al-Tahawi. He said that the superiority of some of them over others is a reality. It is a reality that there is a superiority in the root or essence of Iman of some over others. In some of the copies of the book of Imam al-Tahawi, Ibn Abi al-Izz said, some of them said, التفاضل بينهم بالخشية والتقى. And in some of the reports or some of the copies, they said, التفاضل بينهم بالحقيقة. This means that the first expression indicates that all of the believers, what they have in common is that they testify to the truth of the Tawheed of Allah. That all of them share in the fact that they testify to such. But that testification or that conviction that is in the heart, in some of them it is stronger than others. In some of them it is stronger than others. This is the meaning of the expression as Ibn Abd al-Izz mentions it in the first manner. التفاضل بينهم بالحقيقة. It indicates that in fact the iman of the people, the root or essence of iman from one person to another is of varying rank. This is a reality. The second expression, as it came in most of the books, seems to suggest that all people are equal in the root or essence of iman. These two meanings are completely different. The correct meaning, Ibn Abd al-Izz says, that the correct meaning and the one that is closer to the truth and stronger is the first one, that the variation or superiority in rank in the root of iman from one believer to another is a reality. It is a fact that the root of iman from one person to another is different, that they are in varying rank. And this is actually the opinion of the majority of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as we mentioned earlier, Al-Imam Malik and Al-Imam Shafi and Al-Imam Ahmed and others, as opposed to the opinion of Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, who is a Hanafi scholar, agrees with the position and the opinion of the majority of the scholars, though it is in contradiction to the opinion of his madhab, which also is a reminder to us that the scholars of the early generations of the Muslims, even if they followed a particular madhab, they used to try to stick to that which was closer to the truth, even if it was in contradiction or differing from their own madhab. They used to follow the strongest evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, even though it may have contradicted or conflicted with their madhab, and this is the correct way of the believers. Finally, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says in point number 65, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ الرَّحْمَنِ, that the believers, all of them, are the awliya al-Rahman. All of them are the friends of Allah, the awliya of Allah. وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْوَعُهُمْ وَأَتْبَعُهُمْ لِلْقُرْآنِ, and that the most honored of them are those who are most obedient to Allah and His Messenger, and those who are most strict in following the Qur'an. يعني أتبعهم means those who are most obedient. They are the most honored, and those who are أتبعهم للقرآن, those who stick and strictly follow and observe that which came in the Qur'an and as well as the Sunnah. Here, this is a very important point of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, as mentioned in the commentary of some of the scholars, that the believers, they are the awliya ar-Rahman. They are the friends of Allah, the friends of ar-Rahman. And this is, as mentioned in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 62 and 63. Ala inna awliya Allah, isn't it so that the awliya of Allah, la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun, there is no fear upon them, nor do they grieve. And then here Allah defines who are the awliya of Allah. He says, they are alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. They are those who believe, and they have taqwa, piety and righteousness. These are the two descriptions for the characteristics of those who qualify to be the awliya of Allah. They are not, as we have been made to believe, saints who performed miracles or did strange acts, but in fact the awliya of Allah are those who have iman, those who believe, alladhina amanu, and those who have taqwa, wa kanu yattaqun. Those who have iman and those who have taqwa, those who have faith in Allah and those who have consciousness and fear of Allah. Based on this, he said that the variation in the rank or the superiority of some over others in reference to their relationship to Allah, their wilaya or friendship with Allah or nearness to Allah, it is based on these two things, al-iman and al-taqwa, faith and piety. And the most honored of them with Allah are those who obey Him the most, who obey Allah the most, and who obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the first, the only criterion for honor in front of Allah. It is obedience to Allah. And the second criterion is following the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not those who are more strict in following a particular madhab. But the most honored are those who follow the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, and who obey Allah the most. Sheikh al-Albani says that the description of the awliya of Allah is found in this ayah which we mentioned, Surah Yunus, chapter 62 and 63. And it is not as they have claimed, that it is due to the performance of miracles or strange things that go beyond the laws of nature. Then he says that in this statement of Imam al-Tahawi is a very fine point where he has refuted the fanaticism of the people who follow the madhab fanatically. Those who prefer to follow the madhab over following the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he says that there's no proof that following the madhab is the criterion for being honored by Allah, but in fact the criterion is in following the book of Allah. Since the madhahib have many, many differences amongst them, and the Qur'an, there's no difference in it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 82, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ, do they not consider or reflect on the Qur'an? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ, if it had been from other than Allah, لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا. If it had been from other than Allah, you would have found so much difference or conflicts in it, as we find in the madahir. But as for the Book of Allah, there's no conflict in it. And this is a proof of the superiority of following the Book of Allah over following the following fanatically the opinions of the madahir, in contradiction to the clear proofs that came in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that a Muslim, the more that person follows the Quran, the more honored they are. And the more they blindly follow the opinions of the madhab in contradiction to the Quran, the further they are away from the honor of Allah. And this has also been indicated in the saying of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi that we mentioned in the introduction. Here Al-Shaykh Al-Albani refers to the comments of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi in the story of Abu Ubaidah Al-Harbawiyyah. He said once when he was studying with Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, they were discussing some issues, and he asked the question. Al-Imam Al-Tahawi gave an answer. He said to Imam Al-Tahawi, ما هذا قول أبو حنيفة? This is not the opinion or the position of Abu Hanifa. And Imam Al-Tahawi said to him, أيها القاضي, أو قاضي, أو كل ما قاله أبو حنيفة أقول به? Did you expect that everything that Abu Hanifa says that I have to say the same? يعني, do I have to agree with every opinion and every statement of Abu Hanifa? Then the Shaykh said to him, ما ظننتك إلا مقلدا. I didn't think except that you are a مقلد, يعني that you are one who just blindly follows the madhab that you are part of. Then Al-Imam Al-Tahawi said to him, وَهَلْ يُقَلَّدْ إِلَّا عَصَبِي. Does anyone blindly follow except a fanatic? And then Abu Ubaid said to him, أَوْ غَبِي. يعني, when Imam Al-Tahawi said to him, does anyone just blindly follow except a fanatic? Then the Shaykh said back to him, not only a fanatic, but also a stupid or ignorant person. Yani, here Al-Imam Tahawi was making it clear that the blind following is unacceptable, except for blindly following the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, this is the last point that we will cover today. And also with the handout, please make a note of the questions at the end, which we, inshallah, should have covered in the course of this discussion. The first of them contained in point number 63, what is the difference between hadith mutawatir and hadith ahad? We discussed this and we said that mutawatir comes from many chains, in every level of the chain of narrators, from many different people, such that there is no doubt about the fact that it is authentic. And hadith ahad are those hadith which came from one or two or a few number chains of narrators. Are both of these categories of hadith accepted as a source of sharia and or aqidah? يعني hadith mutawatir and hadith ahad, the correct opinion is that both of them, mutawatir or ahad, as long as the isnad or chain of narrators is sahih, it is a source for sharia, for Islamic law, and it is also a source for aqidah, for Islamic creed or belief. And in point number 64, are all people equal concerning the root or essence of faith, yani asl iman, or on different levels? That is there no difference between the iman of different individuals? And we made it very clear from the statement of the scholars that the correct position of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that all people are not equal in the root or essence of faith or iman, that they are differing according to the strength of their iman. And what is the aqidah of the murji'ah concerning equality of people in iman? The opinion or the aqidah of the murji'ah who said that actions are not part of iman, their opinion or their aqidah or their position is that all people are equal in iman. As long as a person has conviction in their heart, then they are all equal in their iman. And finally, from point number 65, who are the awliya of Allah, the friends of Allah? And from the ayah of the Quran, we know that they are the people who have two qualities, al-iman, faith, and al-taqwa, piety or righteousness. And these mention the two primary characteristics which are the basis of the relationship of wilaya or friendship between Allah and His servants. The two primary characteristics are these two characteristics, iman and taqwa, and the awliya of Allah, the believers, the mu'minun. So these questions, inshallah, should be clear from the points that we covered today. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any comments or corrections or questions, I don't know if the adhan has been called. I think it's time for the adhan. Did anyone hear the adhan? Okay, are there any comments or any questions or corrections? Inshallah, in the next few minutes we can take a few questions. If not from the brothers, then we'll start with the sisters. Naam. Someone is asked, are you a Muslim? And they say, Alhamdulillah. Yani, this is, in Arabic, perhaps we can say that it is an answer. There's part of the answer that is understood. It's mahdoof, mafhoom. Yani, we say that they mean to say, yes, I am a Muslim. And then they praise Allah for the fact that they are Muslim. Naam, ana Muslim, Alhamdulillah. The first part they left out. But yani, to make it clear, we should answer the question, but it is understood in Arabic if someone said something like this, it could be understood that they mean to say, yes, I am a Muslim, and the second part which they actually express to you is praise of Allah for the fact that they are Muslim. When someone says Alhamdulillah to that question, they mean to say, yes, I am a Muslim, Alhamdulillah, and I praise Allah for the fact that I am a Muslim. But if you say, Naam, I am a Muslim, inshallah, I am a mu'min, inshallah. It is permissible and correct to say so if you mean by that, inshallah, yani inshallah, that my iman and my Islam is, yani, I hope that it is acceptable and yani, to the level that is pleasing to Allah. You know, inshallah, this. But not, you don't mean that I am in doubt. I am not sure, am I really a believer or not? The Muslim should never have doubt about whether or not they are a believer. Do you really believe in Allah? If you have this conviction in your heart, then you are a believer. But to what extent or what level is your iman, that's another question altogether. Perhaps the person may say inshallah in reference to this, or they may mean inshallah, ya'ani, inshallah, in relation to the end of the matter. Ya'ani, will they die on iman or not? This is what really counts. And maybe now you have iman in your heart and you are a Muslim practicing, but are you going to die as a Muslim? Some people, they were Muslims, but before they died, they apostated and they left Islam and they died on kufr. So perhaps if somebody says, I am a believer, inshallah, they may mean that I am a believer for sure. And inshallah, I hope that I will die on Islam, die on iman. They may mean like this. Huh? It's more to say, inshallah, as long as that's what you mean. As long as you don't mean, inshallah, I hope I am a believer. I hope I have iman. Now, in Fadilu Ahsul wa Jumaat, it's permissible to say so, and it is proper to say so, as long as you mean by that, ya'ani, you don't have any doubt that you are really a Muslim, that you are really a mu'min. You have faith in your heart. For sure you believe in Allah. But you don't know what is the end. You don't know how you're going to die. That's what you mean by inshallah. Or you don't feel confident that your iman is so perfect that you are boasting and bragging. I am a believer. I am, you know, something great. And you're saying inshallah, yani, in terms of the level of your iman and the level of your practice or obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any other comments from the brothers? From one person to another and from one time to another time. This is the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that iman increases and decreases. It increases with obedience to Allah. The more you are obedient to Allah, you can feel your iman increasing. You can feel closer to Allah. You feel more conscious of Allah when you do acts of obedience to Allah. Just think about when you are fasting. You are refraining from eating and drinking, even though yani, you are refraining from that which is normally lawful, but you are doing it to get nearer to Allah. When you are giving charity, helping a poor person or a needy person, when you are doing good deeds, you actually feel better and you feel closer to Allah. And when you are committing sins, you also feel different. You feel some darkness coming over you and you feel a feeling that's not good. You know that you are pushing yourself further from Allah by disobedience to Him. So obedience definitely brings you near to Allah and it makes you feel closer to Allah and it makes you feel better. it increases your iman, and disobedience causes your iman to decrease. The sisters ask, what will happen to a person who is living in a form of government not basing its laws on Sharia, Quran and Sunnah, and there's no choice except to follow? What will happen to his or her faith even if they decided to migrate but unable because they couldn't afford it? Whoever is living in the land that of the non-Muslims, or even in the Muslim lands where the Sharia may not be implemented fully or even in part, then that person, if they are able to, they should try to go to a place that's better. They should go to a place where the Sharia is being implemented, at least partially or fully, if there is such a place. And they should go from the place they're in to a better place. If they're able to, that's better for your Islam and better for your iman and more pleasing to Allah. Because hijrah, migration, is legislated in the Quran and Sunnah that the Muslim should migrate from the place where their Islam is affected in a negative way to a place that's better for their Islam and their iman. If they wanted to migrate, to go to a better place, but they couldn't do so, they didn't have the money, they didn't have the ability, their health was poor or whatever, then Allah knows what their condition is and Allah is forgiving, merciful. But whoever is able to go to a better land, then they should do so, even if the place that they go to is not implementing the Sharia completely. As it happened in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the Muslims made the first migration and the second migration before Medina, the migration was to Ethiopia, to Habasha. And that wasn't an Islamic state. But at least the ruler of that state was a just man, as the Prophet ﷺ described him. He is a just man. So go to him, and he will protect you, and he will deal with you justly. And it was proven so when they went to him that he was really a just man. And eventually, alhamdulillah, after coming to know about Islam, he embraced Islam and became a Muslim and died on Islam. So this means that a person should go to a better place, even if it's not a place where the Sharia is being implemented completely or only partially, as the people in the time of the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Ethiopia. Also, what if the leader of the government is Muslim but committing sin? Is he considered a disbeliever? Of course not. A Muslim is not considered a disbeliever by committing sins. All of us are sinners, as the Prophet ﷺ said. All of us are sinners. All of us are committing sins. But it is not through the commission of sin, whether major or minor, that a person goes out of Islam. But as we said previously on many occasions, that what takes a person out of Islam is the nullifies, those things which negate and nullify the Islam completely. And the commission of sins, whether major or minor, do not do so. But the continuous commission of sins without consideration or concern or remorse in doing so could actually lead a person to the decrease of their iman to the extent that they may actually fall out of Islam. Yani their iman may decrease and decrease and decrease until they actually do those things which nullify their Islam. And in the beginning, when one's iman is strong, you will not do certain things. But if you keep committing sins, even if they are small sins, and your iman decreases as a result of that, you become weaker, and then you may commit major sins. And if you keep committing major sins, then you may eventually commit those things, yani the nullifiers or the nawaqid of Islam that actually take you out of Islam. But in general, we don't say that any leader or follower, the head of the government or the people in the country, they are not disbelievers through the commission of sins. The commission of sins, we say that a person who commits sins is a sinner. And no more than that. And Allah knows best. Any final comment before we go? Any question or comment? طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.